something that's really interesting as I get older, you know, you look back, I look back on my life and just kind of see things that I didn't see before, you know, see motives to the reasons I did things that I didn't see while I was doing them, and also see people's work in my life that I didn't see while it was happening, but now I see it. And so that's a lot of my story. So I guess I'll just kind of start with when I was very young, I was always kind of a smarty pants kind of person. I loved like to look at encyclopedias, and this is when I was really little. Even when I couldn't read, I just liked looking at whatever pictures I could find in encyclopedia, which didn't have a lot of pictures, so I looked really hard. And there I was, really small, right? But I was that way just a lot. And so, like, you know, parents would call me, like my parents would call me professor, or as I got more into school, classmates would call me president for some reason, assuming presidents were smart. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. They're just people too. But it's always just interesting looking back at that, because it was just a little thing, you know. Neighbors and people would say, you know, oh, hey, it's the professor. And part of this was because I was smart, and I really wasn't that smart. I just, the big thing was this: I had these giant glasses. They were really big, which is, they're actually back in now. They're popular now again. They're just big honking glasses. I should have brought a picture. And then sweater vests. And turtlenecks, you know, so sweater vests over top of the turtlenecks, along with the big giant glasses. And so I think that's more than anything why people called me professor. I thought it was because I was smart, but I think that's more what it was. But anyway, growing up, I loved stories. So I didn't know that until I was older. I became an English major in college, and I didn't really know why. And then I realized as an English major, oh, I just really like stories. I love like Mike was talking about, they just the build up and then the climax of the story and what happens. And but when I was little, that manifested itself in dinosaurs, right? I love dinosaurs, but the thing is, I didn't like really like I thought I liked fossils, but I really didn't because I don't like science. It's really boring. Sorry to all you science people out there. I know there's a lot out there. They're looking right at me. But I love stories. It manifested itself in dinosaurs, in Power Rangers, because I was the original Power Rangers. And things like that. I just really enjoyed it, really loved it. Movies. My family watched a lot of movies. We did that quite a bit. As I kept getting older, I really found that people liked it when I like knew things or when I acted mature. And so I kind of stuck with that. And again, this is something I knew then. This is something I've realized now. And that kind of became my thing. So by the time I was 10 or 11, when my mom, when my parents divorced, separated, my mom left, we stayed with my dad. By the time that happened, I had really kind of formed this character of myself of being the person that everything was going to be okay. Like, I was very much roll with the punches, like, was really good at making people, no, everything's gonna be fine, because people love that, right? People ate that up. Like, oh man, look at Bo, you know, he's so just like calm and collected, and just knows what to do. He's mature, and he's doing dishes, and he's you know, helping with the other kids with some of their issues, whether it be older or younger, you know, with homework and all that kind of stuff. I just love that, and I just didn't really, that's a big reason I did things. So when it was just us kids and my dad, I kind of took that role of the hero, the get stuff done, everything's happy, everything's good all the time guy. Also, growing up during these time periods, what kind of goes with this whole story idea of me just loving stories and loving knowledge and loving learning things, I ate Sunday school up. Like, I just loved Sunday school. I knew all the stories, Old Testament, New Testament. Went to camp, Camp Witness, and that was big. That is where I would say that I I'd probably say that's why I became Christian between, somewhere between there and Sunday school around young age, six, seven, eight, somewhere in there, is when I really understood what the gospel was, that Christ died for my sins, and that he took the sins upon himself that I may begin a relationship with him and know him and spend eternity with him. That's when that happened. So I was definitely like that side of things, Sunday school, camp, Christianity, that really kind of compacted in and really added really well to this being a respected, mature, loved person, good person, because parents ate that stuff up, you know? Parents loved that I knew lots about the Bible, and parents and adults loved that I was mature and responsible and all these things. At least I gave that belief that I was. That was a lot of my life. When I was in high school, we got this new youth pastor. There's kind of some issues, but we got a new youth pastor. And he was huge for my life. He was huge. His name was Jamie, and he just, for some reason, he loved movies. He loved movies, and that's how we started. He started talking about movies, and then next thing you know, that turned into talking about Jesus and mission trips and Bible studies and discipleship and all these things, which was really, really, really awesome. It was during those years of my life that I started thinking, man, maybe this is something I want to do with my life, doing ministry. And so I started looking at Bible college because I figured that's what you should do. If you want to do ministry, you should go to a Bible college. I even signed up for one and was all ready to go. But that summer, things were happening going on. I really felt God pulling me somewhere else. So I ended up going to, Wayne State College. Just kidding. I'm not sorry. Wayne's awesome. Went to Wayne State, and that's where, again, I became an English major, and it was the best $40,000 I ever spent because I got a wife out of it, which is pretty cheap for an awesome wife. I was an English major. I loved it, loved the classes. The English classes were great because, like, all the papers you do are totally your opinion. So I'm just being honest with you. It's awesome. You'll have to actually, like, look stuff up. It's great. Really, really enjoyed it. It was really a good time for me. But something that was really huge, the biggest thing for me in college, was right when I got there, immediately when I got there, there were these older upperclassmen guys that they just started hanging out with me. And as I've kind of painted a picture, I was a dweeb, okay? So, and these guys were hanging out with me, and we'd play Halo. I tried to play Halo, and they'd destroy me. And we'd wrestle. Or again, I'd try to wrestle, and they'd destroy me. And all this different kind of stuff, just hangouts, go to Norfolk, all these different kinds of things. But that, again, just like in high school, that turned into Bible studies and into mission trips and into the late nights, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, talking about life. And that was huge, and just this discipleship in action. Going on in my life. Around that same time, I'm going through this life. Of course, at the moment, I did not know, but I'm going through this life of people-pleasing, right? I'm doing things that make people happy, kind of pushing my own feelings to the side, and really just not really doing that much to get gratification or acceptance or understanding from Christ as much as I am from just people liking that I do ministry-like stuff, right? I'm doing this. And I think I'm pretty great. I used to think I was really good at ministry. I've learned better since. But I used to think I was really, really good at that. And then there was a point where I was reading through Romans, and I decided I wanted to memorize part of it. And there's this verse. So there's a really famous verse that we all know very well. And it's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a very awesome verse. One shared a lot. When sharing the gospel, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But for the first time in my life, I noticed that that's not a complete sentence. It's actually just the middle of a sentence. I don't know how it comes out in the original language, but in the English translation, it's just the middle of a sentence, and the beginning of it is very important. Of course, the end is very important. So first I'm going to read you the beginning of the sentence. The beginning of the sentence is actually halfway through verse 22, and that is this. For there is no distinction. And maybe for you guys, you might look at that and be like, well, that's what the first verse says, but, and that might be obvious, but to me that was huge. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that really stuck out to me, like, my goodness, how good I think I am, or how good I make people think I am, doesn't mean a thing. And how just there's no difference. All have sinned. There is no distinction, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. But then there's the last part of the sentence, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is no distinction, no difference, no distinction in who we are, how we act before Christ. Before Christ, we all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that was a huge beginning for me. That was a huge, big step. And as I continued, it also was awful and horrible, but also amazing at the same time, because I didn't realize how much I had put into what people thought of me. And it's something I'm still fighting to this day. Like, I learned I lied a lot in my life, a lot. And there's little, like, little ones, and they seem like it, you know. They're like, for some reason, you know, someone's talking about something, and you want them to like you, so you kind of say like you know it, but you actually don't. You know, or you kind of add something else in there. Like, oh yeah, and then I saw this. I didn't see that. It just sounds really good, and they're liking me, so I'm going to keep it going, you know. Or someone would say something that just made me get the hint that maybe they don't like me. So I just like throw something in there that really isn't me at all. Man, and I hate looking back on my life and seeing those things. It's really embarrassing. And it's in there. And there's so many other things I could talk about, sin issues that have been revealed to me since. And so I guess the last thing I want to say to kind of bring it all together, is there's a movie. This kind of goes. I love stories. I just love how they go. And one of my favorite movies, it was remade, and I haven't seen the remake, so I don't know if it's any good or not. But the original is Ben-Hur. It's actually based on a book, and something really interesting, though. The book was written by the governor of New Mexico, who was the governor during Billy the Kid, who like met with Billy the Kid and stuff. It's interesting. Anyway, so now you know. But Ben-Hur, something really interesting. Ben-Hur is this great story about this guy living during the time of Jesus. His name's Judah Ben-Hur. He's like the same age as Jesus. He gets thrown into prison and all these different kind of things. But as the story goes on, he like you meet this person in his life. Like he's being dragged as a prisoner, and this person comes and feeds him or gives him water, and it's Jesus. And there's this point where he's having this conversation with this person. They're talking, and in the background there's this big hill, and he's on, and there's a guy on it, and a whole bunch of people coming around. It's the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and it's in the background, right? And by the end you see this great redemption story, because Ben-Hur is wanting revenge for the things that have happened in his life, but you finally find the story of redemption. Well, what I love, my favorite part of Ben-Hur is not really in the story itself, even though there's some great parts in the story. My favorite part is the title, because if you look closely at the title of Ben-Hur, it's not just Ben-Hur. It's Ben-Hur, a story of the Christ. A story of Jesus Christ. That's what Ben-Hur is. And I look at my life, and I realize that you could do the exact same thing. You could say, Bert, a story of the Christ, because my name, I may be the guy living this life, but the story is not about me, because I'm not the hero of the story. I'm not the protagonist of the story, and really, my story doesn't, or at least shouldn't, point towards me. It points towards Christ. Last thing, one of my favorite songs is by Phyllis Craig and Dean. It's called "Mercy Came Running." It's kind of an older song, very good song. Look it up if you haven't heard it. "Mercy Came Running." And I just kind of want to end with part of that song. The idea behind that song is that when I couldn't reach mercy, mercy came to me. And as a person who loves story, as a person who sees, and just Mike just knocked it out of the park today, and just think about the stuff that Jesus did as the Lamb in my story when I couldn't reach Jesus, when I couldn't get to him, he came to me, filling the justice of God, coming in all of the love of God, and he saved me. And that's what I want my story to continue to point to. And that's my goal with the rest of my life. That's my goal with this life. And it's my goal with anyone that I work with and want to run into in life, is to help them do that. So that is all. Thank you.